Support comes from Gemma, architects, planners, and designers seeking to bring joy to their clients and communities. Details at gemastl.com.
From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Thursday, June 5th. I'm Ula Kuziz. You might remember the alt-rock band The All-American Rejects and lead singer Tyson Ritter from their early 2000s hits like Dirty Little Secret. This spring, the band stopped by Columbia, Missouri to play a house show, the latest in a series of pop-up shows it's been doing.
I think the Midwest is blessed, and a lot of bands don't come to Columbia, Missouri, or Ames, Iowa, or Green Bay, Wisconsin.
We'll hear an audio postcard from their performance coming up after this news on The Gateway. A Kennett, Missouri mother has been released from ICE custody. Carol Mayorga was detained in April during an immigration check-in at the ICE office in St. Louis. Mayorga, whose legal name is Ming Li Hui, had overstayed a visa after fleeing domestic abuse in Hong Kong. Yesterday, she walked free from a jail in Springfield. Immigration officials released her under the Deferred Enforcement Departure Program, which allows certain immigrants from Hong Kong to remain in the U.S. Her lawyer, Raymond Balurchi, says Mayorga will be eligible to stay until February 2027.
We're not in any way out of in the clear. We're still trying to reopen her case. She still has an order of deportation.
Mayorga's story gained national attention after pushback from her rural community, which broadly supported President Donald Trump in the last election. Meanwhile, St. Louis area immigration attorneys and advocates say federal officials are targeting longtime residents after Trump officials told ICE to substantially increase deportations. St. Louis Public Radio's Brian Munoz reports.
Several immigrants with orders of supervision received text messages from ICE earlier this week, directing them to report to the agency's office. When some of them arrived at the office in downtown St. Louis, they were detained. Now, longtime immigrants working through the legal system are on edge. One is a 52-year-old St. Louis man born in China. St. Louis Public Radio is not using his name because they fear retaliation from federal immigration officials. The man spoke as he walked into his ICE check-in during a thunderstorm.
Give us a chance. We are not criminal. We are not anything that doing bad to the society. We work hard. We want to be a part of the United States.
The man was allowed to remain in St. Louis for now, but not everyone was so lucky. I'm Brian Munoz, St. Louis Public Radio.
And in Jefferson City, the Missouri Senate has approved $100 million for storm recovery, specifically for St. Louis. The Senate passed the bill early Thursday morning. The legislation now goes to the House. St. Louis Senator Carla May says the initial $25 million proposed not just for St. Louis, but other storm-affected counties wasn't nearly enough.
And I'm sure that, you know, down the line, we'll have more funding coming in. But we definitely needed something immediate that can take care of some immediate needs.
The additional $25 million funding would be available to Missouri counties affected not only by the May tornado, but storms that occurred in March and April. The recent tornado damaged thousands of buildings and homes and downed power lines around St. Louis. When city building inspectors assessed the damage, they proceeded to place color-coded warning stickers on structures. As St. Louis Public Radio's Andrea Henderson reports, building inspectors say the stickers are not eviction notices.
Red stickers were placed on the more severely damaged structures. Yellow stickers were placed on structures with some damage and cautioned access to the building. Green stickers meant the building was safe to enter. City officials will not enact any legal condemnations on homes or buildings. Ed Ware is St. Louis City Building Commissioner. He told St. Louis on the Air that people can have their homes reassessed if they question their sticker color.
We're advising them to call 622-4800, the Citizen Service Bureau, if they want somebody to go out there and reevaluate the stickers. And, you know, we're trying to work through all of this.
For those in need of temporary housing, call 211. I'm Andrea Henderson, St. Louis Public Radio.
The May 16 tornado has upended summer plans for many families in the St. Louis area, but some local institutions are stepping in to fill the gap. St. Louis Public Radio's Hiba Ahmed reports.
I'm going to put some greenery in there.
At the Contemporary Art Museum St. Louis, local artist Marley B.D. is helping second grader Cruz add some flowers and plants to his picture of a bear.
These are still sprouting.
Yeah.
Billy D put the activity together for a pop-up summer camp organized by the museum in response to the deadly tornado. Tasia Keys is a mother of five. Her home in Fountain Park was severely damaged during the storm. She says the camp is helping her get her mind off the cleanup she still has to do.
It's helping me cope with a lot of stress that I've really been going through. So, yeah, it's helping.
The camp will run on Wednesdays through the month of June. I'm Hiba Ahmed, St. Louis Public Radio.
Missouri Children's Division officials are working on a plan to offer more competitive starting salaries. Lawmakers did not take action this year to boost the starting salaries of Children's Division workers who look into alleged child abuse and neglect, which is about $45,000 a year. Governor Mike Kehoe says the agency's leaders are developing a plan to offer pay that will increase retention. State Senator Carla May of St. Louis says higher salaries are critical to preventing turnover, which is high for Children's Division jobs.
And especially in some of these positions, people can move somewhere else and have less stress and more money.
Some Children's Division employees may also benefit from Kehoe's pay increase for all state workers that provides a 1% pay bump for every 2 years of service. The Archdiocese of St. Louis has agreed to sign a 25-year lease with Rosati Kane Academy, an all-girls Catholic school in the city. This comes after the Archdiocese's attempt to close the school in 2022 led to an outcry from alumni. They eventually raised enough funds to keep the school open. Barbara Geisman is board treasurer for the school. She says the long-term lease will help stabilize the school's future.
We are very grateful to the Archdiocese for working with us to ensure that young women can have access to a high-quality education in the city of St. Louis for many years to come.
Like many schools in St. Louis, the academy faces decreased enrollment. Geisman says the academy will roll out a new marketing strategy in hopes of attracting future students. You might remember the alt-rock band, the All-American Rejects, and lead singer Tyson Ritter from their handful of turn-of-the-century hits, such as Dirty Little Secret. As University of Missouri seniors graduated this spring, the band played the latest in a series of pop-up shows it's been doing at people's houses. Amina Jenkins brings us this audio postcard, and here's what the band, concertgoers, and even the police think about this diversion from the current era of arena concerts.
My name is Michaela Bailey. I am co-music director of KCOU. We got a message from our general manager, John Sansoni, on Slack, saying that he had received an email to the general manager email from the managers just inquiring about, can we do this? We said, absolutely, and it needs to be at our house.
My name is Lily Frank. In the last hour, I have been trying to get people to eat the rest of the falafel for my graduation party, and then trying to get this tour bus backed into my driveway, and then trying to find rugs or plywood and some cardboard to set up a setup for the All-American Rejects who are playing at my house tonight.
Hey, this is Tyson from the All-American Rejects. The whole thing about this has been sort of like this weird synchronistic happenstance of reactivity. We played this random house party, and it was like, of all the shows we played in the last 10 years, like, it was like this big wake-up call to the reality of, oh, this is why we started doing this. Like, this is what we started doing. We played in house shows. We played backyards, VFWs, and I just told my manager, I go, that worked. Let's do that.
I'm AJ Rook. I'm from Perryville, Missouri. We drove like 3 hours to come see them, and we just like walked around until we found their address. So yeah, followed the music, found them.
Yeah, I watched them go through Iowa, Minnesota, like Green Bay, stuff like that. And I was like, they got to be coming down here soon.
I think the Midwest is blessed, and a lot of bands don't come to Columbia, Missouri, or Ames, Iowa, or Green Bay, Wisconsin. They go to the major cities, they plant their flag in a giant arena. You pay $1,000 for you and your friend to go see them.
I think that art in general just needs to be more accessible to everybody, whether that's like free or pay it you want type of prices. It's getting seriously out of control with how much venues charge bands to actually come in, which passes that price on to the consumer.
The cops just shut us down. I'm Olivia Amos. People call me Via. I sing for the park. What I hope people take away, not just from tonight, but like their tour as a whole, is that this era of live music never went away. Like, it's still here. It's still happening. It's open to everyone, and it's happening all over the country with so many great bands. Like, your favorite band is probably playing in Kyle's basement.
They said we could play one more song.
Everyone has to be a community member. It takes work to be a community member. And moments like this, moments of enjoyment, moments of togetherness, sharing memories, like, this is what keeps people coming back to Como. This is what keeps Como artful. This is what keeps Como relevant. And I'm so happy to be a part of it.
That audio postcard was produced by Amina Jenkins. It came to us from member station KBIA in Columbia. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis. Music is by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Arla Kuziz, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.